Well, greetings, my friend, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, and once again I'm standing before the microphone with the Word of God in my hand and a heart filled with love for sinners. Well, friends, here we are with another day of grace and still another opportunity to preach the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, I believe that there are some of you listening in today, and you never miss a broadcast. You listen in day after day, and yet you know down deep in your heart that you've never been saved or born again through faith in the blood of Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you of your sin and your need for Jesus Christ many, many times, but friend, you're still unsaved. Well, tell me, friend, what are you waiting on? Are you expecting a feeling to give you assurance of salvation? Or are you waiting on a vision or a dream? Well, I don't know what's keeping you from Jesus Christ, but friends, one of these days you're going to procrastinate once too often, and off you'll go, down to a Christless grave, and into hell with all of its pain and torment. You know, throughout the Word of God, we read that salvation is a present gift of God. It's not promised to you tomorrow, but today. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Back in Job chapter 22 and verse 21, God says, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace." And friends, remember this. There are thousands of souls down in hell today who awoke this morning in perfect health. They too didn't expect to die today. They too thought that they had plenty of time. And yet we're told in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." With this solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for his condescending grace, his perfect walk while here upon the scenes of time, but we thank thee most of all for his precious blood that flowed at Calvary's cross. We thank thee that he died, the just for we the unjust, so that he might bring us back to thee. And our God, we thank thee that tender hands took him down from the cross. He was laid in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And we thank thee, our God, that he now sits at thy right hand, our great high priest, our advocate, our intercessor. Lord, the only mediator we have between us and thee today is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that thou wilt honor afresh thy Son today, and honor afresh thy word by saving souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, "Rescue the Perishing."
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more.
Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer the Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Friends, I thank God for the truth of those words that Jesus will save. He's ready, willing, and able to save all those that will come unto God by him. Now then, those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy and care to follow me as I read the Scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today one verse of Scripture as we find it in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, we read these words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now friend, today with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before you a word which tells us why Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It is a word which unfortunately is little understood by Christians and non-Christians alike. Yes, and it is a word which makes it possible for a hell-deserving creature like the speaker to be brought into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And the word is justification. Justification. Now friends, there are five phases of justification which I want to especially bring before the unsaved who may be listening to my voice today. The first thing I want you to notice about justification is its meaning. Its meaning. Friend, a sinner who is justified is cleared of all blame and freed of every charge as though he had never sinned at all. Now let me make one point quite clear at the outset. Forgiveness of sin and justification are not synonymous terms. True, when a sinner is saved, his sins are forgiven. But better still, he is justified in the sight of a holy God. In Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, we read, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," meaning Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Listen, friend. Listen. On the sole basis of what Jesus Christ has done at Calvary's cross and the subsequent resurrection from the grave, you can be justified in the sight of a holy God today. Yes, you can be washed as white as snow simply by acknowledging your sinful condition before God, repenting of your sin, and accepting the death of his Son as a propitiation for your sin. Very briefly then, when a sinner accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, his sins are not only forgiven, but they are also forgotten, as though they had never even existed. God tells us over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now the second thing I want you to notice about justification is its source. How about the source of justification? Well, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 33 we read, "It is God that justifieth." Yes, God is the only one capable of justifying a hell-deserving sinner. A man can't forgive another man and justify him at the same time. If you forgive him, he can't be justified, because he must be guilty, and therefore there is something to forgive. On the other hand, if you justify him, then you do not need to forgive him. But God and God alone is the only one who can both forgive and justify a sinner. My friend, God looked down from his throne in heaven, and he saw a world of lost sinners heading for the pit of hell. And in love, mercy, and grace, he bankrupted heaven to provide a sacrifice for sin in the person of his own well-beloved Son. In John 3 and 16, Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, truly, salvation is of the Lord. And we sinners should thank God afresh today for ever looking upon us and sending his Son to die for our sin. Now friend, the third fact I want you to notice about justification is its recipient. Who are the recipients of this justification? In other words, who benefits by the justification made possible by the death and subsequent resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, friend, if we were to turn over to Romans 4 and verse 5, here's what we would read. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Again, in Romans 5 and verse 8, we read, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So there we have the answer, friend. The ungodly sinner is the only one who can be justified. Yes, God justifies poor, lost, guilty sinners when they believe on Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Friend, it is our faith in the Word of God and the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ, that is counted for righteousness. Now, friend, if you don't remember anything else you hear on this program today, I want you to remember this. God condemns those who try to justify themselves, and He justifies those who condemn themselves. Job put it this way, "If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me." Now, perhaps there's someone listening in today who doesn't like the label ungodly sinner which God has placed upon them. Well, friend, in Romans 3 and 23, God says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Again, in the 10th verse of that same chapter, God says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." So, friend, that puts us all in the same category. We're all sinners. We're all dead in trespasses and in sin. And unless we're justified by God, we're headed for hell and the ultimate lake of fire. And furthermore, Jesus Christ didn't come from heaven to die for good people, because there are no good people. Romans 3 and verse 12 says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And Jesus Christ Himself says in Luke 19 and 10 that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Again in Luke 5 and 32 He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So that's the story, friend. Only those who admit their sinnership can possibly be justified in the sight of a holy God. Now perhaps some of you still aren't convinced that you're a sinner in God's sight. You point to your so-called good works, your church membership and high morals, and other things like this. Surely you say these facts do not go unnoticed before a holy and righteous God. Well, friend, I'll have to agree with you. These things do not go unnoticed before God, because He tells you in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "For ye are all an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags." In Romans 3 and 20, He again takes notice of your so-called good works or trying to keep the Ten Commandments, because here's what He says, "By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." And again in Titus 3 and 5, God says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." And finally, I think of those scriptures back there in Ephesians chapter 2. There in verses 8 and 9, here's what we read. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now that's the Word of God, friend, and God is the one to whom you and I are accountable. Yes, He is the just, and the justifier of all them that believe on Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. So, friend, in view of eternity, ask yourself the question, have I ever seen myself as a lost and rebel sinner? Have I ever seen my need of justification in the sight of God? Well, friend, if you answer those questions in the negative, you can be sure of one thing, you've never been saved at all, and therefore you are still on the road to the pit. Yes, you're still covered with sin from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, and according to God's Word, you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores in His sight. Now, of course, I realize that what I've just said doesn't meet with your favor. No, I'm sure it doesn't meet with the favor of some of you listening in today. But friend, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ wants me to be faithful to the Word of God, and therefore I must tell you the truth of your ruined condition in the sight of a thrice holy God if you've never been justified in His sight. And furthermore, friend, I'll never be justifiably accused of holding back the truth of God's Word. I believe that there are millions of souls in hell today that were never warned of their true spiritual condition, but instead, they were pampered and coddled into believing that all would be well in the end, as long as they did the best they could. Friend, this is another lie of the devil, and completely without substantiation in the Word of Almighty God. And the sad part about it is the fact that people would rather listen to the enemy of their soul, the devil, than to listen to the God of heaven who loved them and sent His Son to die on the cross for him. Now, friends, this leads us to the fourth point I want to make today regarding justification, and that is its manifestation. How is justification manifested? And by that I mean, just how does it come about? Well, in Job 25 and verse 4, we read these words. How then can a man be justified with God? Well, the Word of God makes it quite clear, friends, that in this regard, there are three steps involved. First of all, there must be the grace of God. In Titus 3 and verse 7, God says, being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Again, in Romans 3 and 24, we read, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So you see, my friend, the basic factor in the justification of a sinner is the grace of God. And were it not for the grace of God today, there'd be no salvation for the soul. Secondly, there must be the shedding of blood. In Romans 5 and 9, God says, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Friends, the most significant feature of the Bible is the scarlet thread which weaves its way from Genesis to Revelation. Take the blood out of the Bible and it becomes just another book. Yes, it's the blood that justifies and makes an atonement for the soul. God says in Hebrews 9 and 22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And friend, Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary's cross so that you and I could be justified in God's sight. He was the just one dying for you and I, the unjust, that He might bring us back to God. Yes, thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The poet has penned these words of truth. Oh, why was He there as the bearer of sin, if on Jesus thy guilt was not laid? Oh, why from His side flowed the sin-cleansing blood, if His dying thy debt has not paid? Now, the third phase of justification, or insofar as its manifestation is concerned, is faith or belief. In Romans 5 and 1 we read, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Romans 3 and 28, God says that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And finally, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 39 we read, and by Him, meaning Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, friends, I believe you'll have to admit that the Word of God is very clear. The grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and our faith therein makes it possible for even the vilest sinner to be justified in God's sight today. Now then, as far as faith is concerned, in Romans 10 and 17, we're told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And friends, if you're wondering why I quote so much scripture on this program, there's your answer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, unsaved friend. You'll never be saved by anything I say. It's the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God that causes conviction in the heart and soul of a sinner. And that's the reason I bring to you this program of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And friend, you're hearing the gospel today, and you're hearing the Word of God preached in the fear of God alone. And I read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Now the last point I want to make concerning justification is its result. What is the result of being justified in the sight of God? Well, in Romans 5 and 9 we read that when a sinner is justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, that sinner is saved from wrath. And friend, the wrath of God is an eternity of separation and torment in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell and the ultimate lake of fire. Friend, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, your future will consist of weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth in the fiery flames of hell. In John 3 and verse 36 we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So friend, why not acknowledge your sinful condition today, and then by simple childlike faith, apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your sin-sick soul. Now, aside from being saved from God's wrath as a result of being justified, friend, you'll also have peace with God. In Romans 5:1, we read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, my friend, the result of justification is peace with God. God was so pleased with the death of His Son that He was raised again for our justification. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is so pleased that He brings you into His family as a child of His, and He makes you joint heir with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the final result of justification is glorification. Glorification. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, we read, "Whom He justified, them He also glorified." Now, friends, there aren't many things in this life that we can be sure of, but as sure as I'm speaking to you today, Jesus Christ is coming again soon. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming again soon. Now, the so-called Christian world commemorates the holidays called Christmas and Easter. And yet most of these people, I don't believe that they really realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin. They don't acknowledge Him as their own and personal Savior. They've never really seen Him bearing away their sins in His own body on the tree. They've never experienced the new birth and are therefore unjustified in the sight of a holy God. Friend, let me ask you today, are you saved? Are you born again by the Spirit and Word of God? Do you have the assurance of being justified by your faith in Jesus Christ? Well, I sure hope that every one of you listening in today can say like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Yes, those of you who are saved are ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming to take us home to heaven, where we'll sing, "Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own most precious blood." Now then, just a word of comfort to you Christians who are depressed or discouraged today. In Romans 8, verses 17 and 18, here's what we read. "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Oh, thank God for His unspeakable gift and the blessed hope we have in Him. But how about you who are unsaved? Do you know that if Jesus Christ comes and you're not saved, you'll be doomed and damned to a lost eternity? And furthermore, if you were to die and you're unsaved, unregenerated, and unjustified condition today, hell and the lake of fire would be your soul's eternal abode. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, friend, in view of the fact that only those who are justified can go to heaven, wouldn't you like to be among them? Well, you can. If you'll just believe that you're a sinner that needs to be saved, if you'll repent of your sin, and then accept the death of Jesus Christ as an atonement for your sin, well, friend, I can tell you on the authority of this book, the Bible, that you'll be saved. Yes, you'll have the guarantee of God who cannot lie that you'll be in heaven. But, friend, don't put it off. No, my friend, if the Spirit of God through God's Word is pointing you to Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, please don't procrastinate. Yes, we often say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In closing, friend, let me remind you of the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Yes, friend, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for our justification, you too can pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life by placing your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God right now will keep these facts that we've been discussing before your heart and soul before you pass out of time into eternity. My friend, I plead with you today, as this program of the gospel comes to a close, and the day of God's grace might likewise come to a close today, and this might be your last chance to be saved, to be born again, to become a child of God, to be justified in God's sight. Friend, I plead with you, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Repent of your sin, and then look by faith to Calvary, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you unto death, even the death of the cross. See him, my friend, by the eye of faith alone, shedding that precious blood, without which there could be no remission for sin. Friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord today, and if you do, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come to thee again at the close of another radio message to thank thee again for thy Son. We pray thy blessing upon the word that has just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some good basic and fundamental gospel literature, I'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free and postpaid. Just send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.